A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. The way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. And then Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so dependent on you. Lord, we would be wandering in darkness, in sin, hating you, if it were not for your love and mercy towards us. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that you would teach us. We pray, Lord, that you would convict us of sin in our lives. Lord, that you would encourage us and strengthen us for the work that you have for us to do. Please teach us now, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to look at five Christian characteristics. And it's very important that we know the characteristics of a Christian, because we need to know how we should be living, don't we? We need to know the difference between what is Christian and what isn't. And while at times that might seem somewhat easy to tell the difference, because of the culture that we live in, surrounded by professing Christians who are calling things Christian in order to justify doing what they want to do, it's very important that we look for the answers as to what is Christian and what isn't in the right place. Where we look for these answers is vitally important. And of course, we must look to the Lord. We must look to His inerrant Word of God, to the Holy Scriptures. So this morning, let's look to the book of Proverbs here in chapter 15. And we will consider five of the many Christian characteristics. Now, the five that we're going to look at this morning are that Christians are peacemakers. Christians are peacemakers. Secondly, Christians are hard workers. Third, Christians receive instruction. Four, Christians love what is right. And five, Christians seek counsel. So as we go through these, may God humble our hearts. May He convict us. And may we, as we look at these, may we not focus on all the ways that we're doing these things. But may we examine our lives and our hearts to see how are we not doing what God has called us to do. How are we not living our profession? So, may God humble us. May He correct the error of our ways and teach us and lead us in the truth. So let's begin with verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. You see, Christians are peacemakers. Here we see that when it comes to the fire of strife, some people fan the flames. They add more fuel to the fire, while others cool it off and put the fire out. Proverbs 26:21 says, "Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Other verses in Proverbs refer to the man who stirs up strife as arrogant, angry, contentious, and here, hot-tempered. So the hot-tempered man stirs up strife. This is the man who creates conflicts everywhere he goes. He destroys the peace that had originally been there in relationships, in all his encounters. You see, the hot-tempered man is very hard to get along with. He's always arguing, always picking a fight. And he isn't only interested in arguing with those that he has conflicts with, but he's encouraging you to do the same. He's stirring up strife among brothers, not just fighting his own battles, but he's creating battles for you. So the hot-tempered man is the instigator of many conflicts. He's the cause of broken relationships. And although he doesn't see it this way, we see clearly here in this verse, he is the problem. He is the one stirring up strife. He is the destroyer of peace. Second half of the verse, "But the slow to anger pacifies contention." This man has the opposite effect on people. He does not stir up problems, he solves them. He is the peacemaker. He doesn't just avoid creating strife, but when he's in a situation where strife exists, he brings peace. He calms everyone down and brings stability back to the relationships. So in this verse, we see the difference between a hot-tempered man and a man who is slow to anger. One causes problems and strife, and the other is a peacemaker. And we see the fruit of each, don't we? It's obvious which one is Christian. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." You see, children of God are peacemakers. Not naturally, but because of Christ. So let's examine our hearts. Let's consider this verse. Is Christ transforming you into a peacemaker? Or are you the hot-tempered man who is stirring up strife? James 3:13-18 says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So may we examine our heart. May we consider our character. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. So Christians are peacemakers. Verse 19, Christians are hard workers. The way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Here we see that our work ethic is not a neutral area of life. It is an area of life that involves obedience and sin. Now I say obedience and sin, but I also understand that it isn't always a black and white issue. You see, there's times when we need to rest. There's times when we're sick and we can't do the work that we could when we were at full strength. And of course, that doesn't mean that we're being lazy. Resting from your labor is not laziness. But what this verse focuses on is really the outcome, the consequences of our work ethic. One thing that is so beneficial about the Proverbs is that it corrects the error of our thinking in everyday life. This verse says that the way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns. Now, a hedge of thorns is not a very smooth path. You try to go along a hedge of thorns, and you're going to get cut up. You're going to get hurt. So it's not a smooth path. It's a rough path. It's a difficult path. And sometimes it would be easy for us to get the impression. You see, we could look at the lazy man and say, he didn't choose the hard path. He chose the easy path. I mean, it's not difficult. He's not doing anything. But that's not the case. You see, it appears that way if you look at the surface. But the lazy man is choosing the path of hardships and struggles. You see, he will suffer the consequences tomorrow for his laziness today. He will find himself in want and in need. He will be lacking things that he could have had if he had worked harder, if he had not been lazy. So the sluggard is full of excuses. He sees work, and he looks for a reason not to do it. He'll put more effort into not doing work than he will into just doing the work. Make no mistake about it, he will suffer the consequences of his sin. His laziness will make his life much harder than if he just got up and got after it and did the work before him. Second half of the verse, but the path of the upright is a highway. Notice it doesn't say the path of the hard worker. But we know from the first half of the verse what the contrast is here, that this is the hard worker. You see, the upright is the hard worker. The point here being that it is the way of the upright to be the hard worker, the opposite of the sluggard. So it may seem like a hard path to be obedient, to work hard, but those who are diligently devoted to their work, doing their duty, working hard as unto the Lord, they are rewarded. And they are spared so many of the trials that the sluggard will face. So the way of the sluggard is not the Christian way. And it will prove to be the most difficult way. But the way of the upright, although full of hard work and sweat, will prove to be the right way, the smooth way. So the way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Christians are hard workers. Verse 20, Christians receive instruction. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Here we see the wise son compared to the foolish son. We see that the wise son receives his parents' instructions, while the foolish son rejects his parents' teaching. We also see the response of the parents to their children. First of all, we see that the wise son makes his father glad. You see, the wise son listens to his parents. He honors them. And it is assumed and implied here that the parents are bringing their children up in the fear of the Lord, that they want what God wants for them. So the wise son receives his parents' instructions. He's not just following in their footsteps, but he's following the Lord. He's obeying God. It began as a child, honoring and obeying his parents, listening to their instruction. But it continues on as an adult, honoring and obeying the Lord, listening to his instructions. And this verse says that the wise son brings gladness to his parents. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. You see, what could bring a parent more joy than to have children who are following Christ? So a wise son makes a father glad. But all sons are not wise sons. It says, but a foolish man despises his mother. The wise son listens and receives his parents' instructions, but the foolish son rejects his parents' teaching. You see, he may go along with it for a while as a child. But when the foolish son grows up and the rubber really meets the road, he rejects his parents' teaching. He will not listen to instruction. He will not receive it. And not only is he rejecting his parents' teaching, but he's rejecting the God of his parents. So the fool makes it clear where his heart is by rejecting his upbringing. And this brings his parents so much sorrow. Proverbs 17:21, he who begets a fool does so to his sorrow. And the father of a fool has no joy. You see, it is a sad, sad thing for a parent who has spent years and years praying for their children, discipling their children, teaching them, training them in the way they should go, and then to see them grow up and walk away from the faith, despising all of what you taught them. But this is the way of the fool. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. We see here more good character. The wise son receives instruction, and it is a blessing and encouragement to his parents as well. Verse 21, folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. Christians love what is right. They love what is right. Here, once again, we see opposites compared. A man who lacks sense compared to a man of understanding. And the main difference pointed out in this verse is what brings them joy. What do they delight in? What do they love? Folly is joy to him who lacks sense. You see, the man who lacks sense, the fool, he is an unregenerate man. He is not only sinning, but he's enjoying it. He loves what is wrong. He is delighted to do evil. Proverbs 10:23 says, "Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding." You see, wickedness is like their favorite game that they love to play. Folly is joy to him who lacks sense. But a man of understanding walks straight. Only by the grace of God does a man ever walk the straight and narrow, avoiding sin and walking in the light. Now, the point of this verse is not to say that the fool sins and the wise man does not sin. The wise man, although he has been radically changed by Christ, still has sin in him, and it still shows. But the point that is made here is really two-part. First, we see that the man of understanding walks straight. You see, he lives a different life than the fool. He's on a different path. He's on the good path. You see, it isn't that he never sins, but certainly nothing like what he used to. But he is walking straight. He is no longer doing what is right in his own eyes, but he's doing what is right in the Lord's eyes. So the first point here is that he is doing what is right. But the second point is just as important. Here, we see that not only is he doing what is right, but he loves it. He enjoys it. He is delighted to follow Christ. So both the fool and the wise man in this verse are doing what they enjoy. Understand, it isn't that the pagan is enjoying their life of sin while the Christian is miserably living a holy, righteous life. That's not the case at all. They are both doing what they love, delighting. The Christian finds great joy and satisfaction in living for Christ. You see, when God saves a man, he is a new creature. He now loves what is holy and righteous and lives a life that bears good fruit. Does he still sin? Yes, he does. But now when he sins, instead of it bringing him joy, now it torments him. He hates his sin. It's still enticing. But when he sins, he hates it, and he is so ashamed of it. So the character of a Christian that we see in this verse is that Christians not only do what is right, but they love doing what is right. It's not a burden. Rather, it's their delight. 1 John 5:1-3 says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." It's a joy, praise the Lord. He has instructed us on how to live. It's not a burden. It's our joy to obey Him. So folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. So Christians, love what is right. Verse 22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Christians seek counsel. And here we see the great benefits of asking others for advice. Without consultation, plans are frustrated. You see, it's a problem that we all have. We think that we know what we're doing. We think that we don't see any reason to ask someone else, ask for advice, seek counsel. So we just move forward with our own ideas. And oftentimes when we do that, it doesn't turn out very well. You see, without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed. You see, at home, and you can apply this to any area of life, but we have several animals, and we have lots of things going on, and we're always trying to think of a better way to do something, and there's certainly always problems we're trying to solve. And if I just, whenever I had a great idea at home on the farm, if I just did it, our farm would be a complete disaster. It would be. You see, I need to consult Anna and the boys. Hey, what do you think about this idea? If we do this with this, you see, they're going to think of things that I didn't think of. We need each other, okay? So instead of just one head making the decision, how much better it is to put our heads together. And most of the time, a better plan is the result. So we need to consult each other. Now you may say, I agree, but what does that have to do with Christian character? Well, first of all, it's oftentimes pride that keeps us from seeking counsel. Or maybe it's selfishness. You see, we just want to do what we want to do. We don't want to know what someone else thinks. But we need to consider our weaknesses, even as Christians. You see, there's a reason we are referred to as sheep. You see, sheep are always going astray. Okay, we are bound to go astray and fall into sin if we try to live a solitary life. We need to humble ourselves. We need to consult each other as we go through life. You see, everyone would agree. We all need Christ. We all need Christ. But this verse shows us how much we also need each other. You see, I desperately need my wife and my children and all of you. You see, we balance each other out. We keep each other from making mistakes. And the benefits could go on and on. We all too often underestimate the influence that we are having on those around us, and the influence that they are having on us. We must understand that God did not design the Christian life to be lived alone. We are all much better off together than alone. So without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. So Christians seek counsel. In conclusion, praise the Lord that He is at work in us, that He is transforming us. I don't know about you, but as always, when you go through the Proverbs and you see these Christian characteristics, you realize there's areas in my life that need some work. There's a lot of areas, room to improve. And so, let's not be discouraged by any means, but be encouraged that Christ is working this in you. You're not doing this alone unless you are without Christ. So let's continue on. And by God's grace and by His working in us, we will have Christian character. We will bear good fruit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You are at work in Your children. Lord, we thank You that this is not a struggle that we are to go through alone, but that You are doing this great work in us. Lord, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for the instructions. Lord, we pray that You would continue to do this work in us, that You would make us more and more like Christ, that we would honor You, that we would bring more glory to Your name, that we would walk as children of God in a lost and dying world. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.